What's up, everybody? It's your girl Keisha. Put your phone down, podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I have somebody on here that has a wonderful and phenomenal story about resilience and about overcoming or just trying to overcome. Now, this is something special to me because it's Pisces season as well. So we go celebrate a few special Pisces with us, but whenever I do an intro, I give my flowers. And this is just something I've been looking forward to. I finally got her on here. This is not her thing, so I'm gonna make sure she get her flowers on this episode. I got my girl Carla on here, who is probably one of the most courageous people that I know. And outside of her being courageous, she is just 100% a solid friend. She is there for you, even if times she is not there for herself. And that makes you selfless in any type of way. When I tell you you need something, she is going to be right there within a blink of an eye. She is awesome, and she is the friend that everybody wants to have. I love her family as well. Beautiful family inside and out. This family bands together like no other. And if you don't know Carla, Carla is related to half of everybody, okay? Gary, Chicago, you name it, that's where her family is located. But outside of that, Carla is filled with love, okay? The minute she's going to come around, she gonna be nosy, okay? But the minute she come around, you're gonna feel that she wants to help. And that's who she is. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, she just wants to help. And so, without further ado, and it's going to be more flowers given unto you, but I don't want to just wear everybody's ear out. I know your time is very important. Put your phone down, podcast listeners. I want for you to, number one, wish my homegirl her happy birthday is coming tomorrow, and lift her up and encourage her as we walk through this journey of Carla Cooper and the people that she loves who are not physically here, but I know we feel them around every step of the way. So, Carla, welcome to Put Your Phone Down podcast.
Well, thank you, Keisha. Hello, everyone.
So, okay, one thing is for certain, a lot of people are tuning in because they want to see the tone. And so I know that they probably feel a tad bit relieved to hear the laughing portion of you. So let's just get to the meat and potatoes and just kind of peek into everybody's brain. They want to know how you doing, Carla. Let the people know how you doing.
Well, a lot of times I'll say I'm fine. The Pisces in me wants to be fine all the time, but I have my good days, my bad days. Lately, it's been a lot of bad days going on, in my feelings, but I've been working through those.
So you're saying your feelings, and look, before we go any further, I also want the listeners to know Carla does not do well talking about herself. So when you hear those pauses, she ain't thinking about what she gonna say next. She's like, she done. So you just gotta hop on. But so when you
Ain't
say you,
always true though.
sometimes it is, because it's like, so we done talking, that's it. I'm the same way though. I'm built the same way. But when you say that you're working through, and you have your good days and bad days, can you paint a picture of what the good days look like for you?
The good days for me is, feeling cheerful, want to be around family and friends. A lot of times, I kind of like stay in a shell. As if you want me to do something, you need to tell me like months in advance so I can plan in my head that I'm coming. So, I'm kind of like, in my box sometimes. So, You know, it's just, I'm trying to come out of the box. It's sunny outside, so, you know, maybe I'll move around a little bit.
That's hopeful, you know, but that's the thing. It's like, we all know that, you know, sometimes you just got to take it day by day. You know what I'm saying? You can plan a whole day. And like you said, you got to let Carla know, because, honey, she goes let you know the day of she ain't feeling it, and you just got to rock with it. So what does the bad days, when they creep up on you, what do the bad days look like for you?
The bad days for me is not wanting to get off the couch, watch TV all day or sleep. Just not wanting to be bothered with folks. And that's kind of strange for me because I'm a helper. Like, you know, I like to help people if I can, or any way I can. But, you know, it gets kind of rough sometimes, you know, trying to sort through, you know, my feelings and everything. But, yeah.
Yeah. So we go put a pin in the bad days, because real talk, I think what you just painted was a picture that everybody can relate to, you know. The sometimes laying in bed a little bit longer, or to just put on that happy face. A lot of the times me and you talk about that happy face where, you know, depression, it doesn't have a look, you know, on social media. I could assume you having you living your best life, because you were trained from children, as we take a picture, put that big smile on, say cheese. But inside, we don't know what a person is going through. And so what you just expressed is what I feel a lot of people identify with. And so we go roll into the family aspect. And I know you said, you know, you get out with your family. Again, I love your family. Seriously. They embraced me. We laugh, we talk. Your family has been very, very instrumental, and I love how y'all love on one another. So shout out to both sides of your family, for being with you. And so in blending in the family, here comes the drum roll portion, you know, of me handing out flowers to everybody who means or meant anything to you. And so we're going to talk about, and I know you told me her name yesterday, but I'm going to mess it up, because I kept messing it up yesterday. But we want to first extend the roles to your grandmother. And, you know, I want you to tell people what she meant to you, your grandmother, who is no longer here, but of course played a very instrumental part. So what does she mean to you?
Well, my grandmother, her name is Arminta. She was a great part to my childhood. When she used to drive, she would come pick me up. And even if I had relatives over, she'll pick them up too. And we'll go to Dairy Queen, go to church, different things like that. my grandmother was a interesting person, you know. She would love to make you laugh. She used to pop out her dentures and, you know, just to have you cracking up or whatever, just to make fun and everything. She was my first beautician. My grandmother was a beautician, so when I was a kid, you know, I was always at her beauty shop, which was in her home. She was a nice lady, but it's so funny, you know, like my family members, when they talk about, they call her Mint, or, and I didn't know they used to call her two-toting gun Minta, something like that. I had to save grandmother, but, you know, some of the stories that my family would tell me about my grandmother was like, what? Not my granny. You know, she was a firecracker, you know. before her saved life. You know, she didn't have a problem, you know, facing anybody, you know, whether it's a thief or a bully or whatever. She ain't afraid of no one. But she was my heart. It was, she was just like a breath of fresh air, you know, as far as like, you know, being around her. She was always the one who would bring me around my Gates family, because, you know, I'm related to the Gates, so it's like a whole slew of them. I call it the Gates clan. So I can remember going to family reunions with her. You know, just going to different family functions and picnics and stuff like that. But yeah, so unfortunately she passed away. I was around probably like 98 or so, maybe, I want to say 90, because I remember I was in college when my grandmother had a stroke, and I came home after that to kind of help my mom with her and everything. So I want to say it had to be between, it had to be sometime after, I'm going to say 97, 98 or so.
Yeah, it was around that time, because around that time, now, okay, I'm going to give people some backstory of our friendship, okay? Now, I know I'm going backwards, but I got to, okay? Now, let me tell people who are still listening. I love Carla dearly now, okay? Now, I will say. Now, I'm so not being...
Because of a high school.
I am, okay? Now... one thing that I try heavy not to do is to be like, oh, it's because, you know, you a Pisces, and no, but this stuff is true. So Carla is more vocal. I am more internal. You go catch mine later on, but it's not going to be straight out. Right. So how we met was in high school. I decided I wanted to arch my eyebrows, honey. It was something new. So I was like, all right, now let me try. So I thought I did okay. I had hyped myself up enough to believe that one thin eyebrow and the other one was thick was okay. I made peace with it, okay? So Carla, who did not know me, she knew people that I knew, but we wasn't friends like that, decided to get out of line in high school now. Now, we waiting for the pizza and the fries. She decides to step out of line as I'm eating by fries myself. What would I say? Fries and what I say?
No, you said pizza and fries. I said, yeah, with the gravy.
Oh, yeah, the gravy. Right. She decides to get out of line. And I consider myself a little popular loner, so I'm sure I was kind of like by myself. And she decides to come up and was like, girl, what happened to your little eyebrows? You got one thinner than the other. And I was like, who are you? Because I don't like you. Like, why you keep coming over here pointing out different things? But fast forward, when you went to college, I do remember around that time, because, you know, that was pretty much freedom papers for you, you know. Having a good time, being around friends and family, you get a phone call that pretty much did, you know, shift your life for the most part. Losing your grandmother, you know, allowed for you to kind of stay here, you know, in Gary, and, you know, pretty much live your life here. So once she passed, that was in the 90s around, yeah, like you said, 97, 98, because that's when we started hanging pretty tough. You know, you used to do the popover method, and I'm like, sis, I don't do all that. Don't be popping over. You call first, because, honey, I used to look out my window. I'm like, no, she gonna learn to call, okay? But so after she passed, we have some other roses to give out. You know, I know that had to, of course, hit the family hard, because she really did sound like she was all the way live, you know. But We got a Pisces that was another person that was no punk, okay? And we want to celebrate her as well. Mama Bev, now this is, you know, your mom, your best friend, your ride or die, and also a true Pisces, honey. So we have to give in honor of Pisces season. We just go let Bev have the floor. I want you to tell people about Mama. Okay, let's talk about Mama.
Well, try not to get choked up, but my mom, she has always been, she's been a mother, so not like, you know, I ain't gonna say she was like my best friend, but, you know, I was her ride or die. She take me shopping, I'm in the seat with her and everything. My mother was very smart. She can figure out just about anything at any moment. And she was just like, you know, a breath of fresh air, you know, as far as like, you know, her wit, her ability to maneuver things, her ability to, you know, make you laugh, organize stuff, cook, all of that, you know, that was my mom. She was like, you know, a great example of everything. She was very resilient, you know, she would do just about anything for anybody, you know, so it was just, you know, she was my mama, you know, it's like she was my first girlfriend in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna say she was my first best friend. She was my girlfriend. Like, she was the girl that, mm-hmm. Let's go, let's do this, let's go to the mall and just shop and do all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And I gotta say, you know, I think that you, everything that you said about her is in you. You know, I didn't see when you was painting the picture and talking about her, I did not see you not there, you know, in that personality, in just the way that she carried herself. It's definitely, you adopted that, you know, so don't think for a second that the person that you described is not you. You know, because you picked up along, you definitely are the one that can figure it out quickly. You know, it, anything, you'd be like, no, give me a second. This is what you do. And I'm like, damn, you whipped that up. It wasn't even your issue, you know? So,
I mean, that's funny because a lot of times people complain that I move slowly or whatever, because I'm really like an analytical thinker or whatever. It's like, I have to, you know, kind of like, okay, think things out and stuff, and I get that from my mom. I know I do.
Yeah,
and my dad as well, because he was a mechanical thinker. My mother,
and that's
a different type of thinker.
That's the thing. I do want to shed a tad bit more light on your mom before we move on to another Pisces. It's been how many years since she has been gone?
It's been at least 6 years now. This will be the 7th year. It was very hard for me, you know. Like I tell everybody, my mother always seemed like a superwoman. She gave me a false sense of security as far as like her, you know, being very resilient. So when I lost her in 2017, I was taken back. I was really taken back with her, because my mother have had all kinds of surgeries, procedures done, and she was just like the bounce back queen. And when she had surgery, and she had COVID during surgery, I was very in shock, in disbelief, a little bit. It was kind of hard for me because I just felt like, oh, okay, they put her on life support because she's working too hard to get well and stuff. And it was like they had to really slap it in me to say, hey, something really, really, really wrong with your mother. You know, it's not just, you know, she's doing this and we gonna do that. It was more of like, you know, you really gonna have to let people see her, because either A, she's gonna be on these, all of these machines the rest of her life, or you know, you have to make a decision, which was kind of hard as well too.
So I guess there is really no such thing as, you know, of course, getting over it. But when that happened, you know, you in 2017, and like you said, the shock is hitting you, you know, after, like you said, so many times, she was in the hospital, but Bev was making her way back home, honey. Like, I mean, like you said, bounce back, you know.
She was a back, bounce back queen. So
she was. Like, I mean, honestly, she would be in the hospital, but she would come back. But, you know, I, as well as the people who have tuned in, just what is your method of coping when you lose a parent?
I think my method of coping has been kind of not the best. You know, I went into, you know, picking up and start taking care of somebody else. You know, I always was there for my mom. My dad ended up getting dementia, and his mental health had started declining after my mother. So it was like, okay, Bev is gone, but I got over here, I got Ralph, I got to get him together, I got to do this, I got to do that, you know. So it's like I was super busy, you know, or trying to make sure that my dad was all right, you know, just picking up the pieces for my, where my mother left off, because my mother, you know, handled everything of my dad's affairs and stuff. And I was, you know, just kind of like just waiting, you know, to get a normalcy back. But it was like, no, but to get rid of what I felt in my heart of what I was going through, I would turn around and, you know, just pick up the pieces and just like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that for my dad. And so, yeah, I was just trying to stay busy.
Yeah, and you're right, it was like back to back. I remember when you pointed it out, you know, you said it and you was like, I think, and I was like, maybe not, you know. You like, no, this is what I think. And it was like immediate. So before we go any further, you might make a history as well, Carla. We pushing on almost 24 minutes. We can definitely, we're going to have to stretch this if you got time to make this a part two, because we got a few more people that we need to give our flowers to. But I want to, as we merge into Ralph, we have to acknowledge and give him his flowers. This was dad, and Carla is still, okay, a daddy's girl. And I would love to honor him as well. So we have Ralph. All right, honey, because look, one thing I can tell you for certain, when we reach a certain time frame, baby, either I'm going to hang up or this thing will too, but we just go keep it trucking. This is part two. And this is where we get to, you know, a father's love, you know, and hand him his flowers. Let's talk about who your dad was to you.
So my dad was Mr. Fix-It Man. So with him, he was the type of person that, you know, wanted to make you laugh. He wanted to make you giggle. He definitely was the type of person who, you know, he was, I ain't gonna say a woman pleaser, but he pleased me and my mother. Like, he would make sure that we was straight. Like, he would take us to, you know, whatever appointment, pick us up, drop us off. You know, he was our personal chauffeur, so to speak. So, yeah, he was all of that. Yeah, very much so that.
So with, you know, the losing him, and that hasn't been too long ago, you know. And it's like you said, in dealing with the loss of one parent, you trying to wrap your head around that. And then here comes, you know, as some might call them, pops, you know, taking a turn. So what's your coping with that? How you doing with that?
My dad was a little bit different. You know, my mother was like a shock deaf. You know, it was kind of like, you know, I wasn't expecting his death. I mean, her death. But with my mom, my dad was, you know, had dementia. And he was, to me, I would say a slow death, because he was changing each time. You know, I look up, you know, his demeanor changed, you know, things that he was Mr. Fix-It. He would, you know, he wouldn't do anymore. So it was kind of, you know, very hard for me to kind of adjust to that. Because it was more of, you know, the same things that, you know, it was very hard, because he changed. He definitely changed. And it was like I was seeing it every day, you know, his motor skills changing and everything like that. So it was kind of hard for me, because I was trying to, you know, take care of him, make sure everything is, you know, okay with him and everything. So yeah, that was kind of hard.
Yeah.
But having that, I know I had suffered a little bit of being, you know, a little bit more depressed, because at that point I had the realization that they're both gone and I didn't have no one else to focus on a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. And by like you said, you a helper, which means caretaker. You know what I'm saying? Let me see who I can help out. Let me see who can smile. Let me see who I can make laugh. That's Carla. And so without those components that you grew up with, raised you, you know, we talk about a clip that you showed me that I want to bring to people's attention, because this comedian was being real. He was being transparent. I don't care how he tried to make a joke out of it, but Dion Cole talks about the loss of his mom. And I want us to dive into that a tad bit. When you really don't know your identity after losing a parent, you know, or just a loved one in general. It doesn't have to even be a parent. It can be, you know, a loved one. And you said that you identified with that. So, you know, I want to touch on that a tad bit. When you don't really know who you are after being a caretaker.
So the biggest part with that is that I always was, you know, kind of somewhat taking care of somebody or whatever. And so to lose, you know, my parents, my grandmother and all of that kind of stuff, it was like, this is my new norm. Like, what is going on? Like, you know, I don't know what I need to do. You know, it's just like, it was so strange. And I had gotten into a very deep depression. I wasn't really eating. I was losing significant weight. I wasn't really taking care of myself, all of that. And it was kind of hard to kind of like find a new norm, which I'm still working on that. So I can't say that I'm 100% there with finding my new norm, but I'm trying to, you know, work better and doing that kind of stuff. So yeah, so it was very hard, to kind of like, you know, work through how I was feeling, my emotions that I was having, you know, and just trying to be on the outward, you know, I'm okay, which, you know, I would make it seem like, oh yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm fine. And really I wasn't. Really, I was not okay at all.
I wonder why we do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we know we not, I think it taps into something that we talked about a little yesterday. Mm-hmm. Feeling as though, basically the feeling misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You can say how you feel, but sometimes, you know, whether people know it or not, when they can say, oh, but you got this going on, so don't worry about it. And you like, look, I just pretty much, that was a cry for help. Okay. And now I'm trained to say I'm doing okay, because you've kind of showed me that whatever I shared with you is, it should be like, oh, well, okay, look, you should be fine now. You should be over it now. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder, is that why we say okay? Well, why did you say okay when somebody asked how you was doing and you wasn't?
I'm always, it's hard for me to accept help, you know. And so I feel like if I tell them I'm okay, then, you know, no one's going to be trying to help me. And, you know, the bad part about that, I probably really needed the help. And it's making me, you know, to the point where it was hard to, you know, just accept help in certain situations as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Two peas in a pod, friend. You know, that's how we are. Like, you know, it's like I identify with that so much. You know, you need the help, but it's something in us that's wired to be like, I'm good, I'm okay. It's the suffering in silence, man. We, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't sign up for it, but I do think it's some people that's wired like that, you know? Since I don't want to go over time, because, you know, this wasn't planned, the part two wasn't planned, I still want to acknowledge, you know, I threw in the word friend when I was talking about you, and we have to definitely acknowledge, honey, since it's Pisces season, why not? This young lady who is no longer here, but man, I feel her spirit is so strong that she ain't gonna have it no other way. You go feel it no matter what, whether you hear her voice, whether you hear the quick comeback she used to have. I am talking about no other than Miss Nicole Jones, right? Who was bestie. And although she's not here, I want to give her flowers, you know. So let's talk about Nicole. Miss Nicole kind of was real straight to the point, baby. She gonna let you know what it is and keep it going. She always stay fly. And I just kind of want you to tell people about who Nicole was to you. Because, girl, look, one thing about me is I'm going to keep going whether I have technical difficulties or not, because that's just the way that it goes. We had just a little slight glitch, and we were talking about Nicole. That had to be her coming through, okay? What I was asking you was, on my end, I knew Nicole as a whippersnapper, straight to the point, dressed to the nines. Always had the hair done, okay. Poetic. That was what we bonded about. She could throw out some poetry to make me fold up my little sheet of paper and put it in my pocket. I was like, I'm not coming behind you, okay. But that's my version of Nicole. Okay. What
Yeah,
was
so
your version of Nicole?
Nicole was definitely a whippersnapper. She would get you right. She would talk about whatever she can. She had no problem telling how she feels. She could be quite, mean, and she could be quite kind in the same, sense. But she was a good friend. She was one of my best friends that I wish I could have grown old with. With her, it was kind of shocking too, because with her, she was young. I remember when she came home from Indianapolis, and she was talking about her skin was, itching. She was having issues with, her skin. We went to a dermatologist, and that's when she discovered the illness she had, which was called scleroderma, which is kind of like the hardening of the skin or organs and so forth. So it was with Nicole, it was like, I can't believe I'm looking down at the diagnosis, and the funny part about it, I saw like a Lifetime movie about a person who has scleroderma. So in my mind, I already knew that, her life expectancy wasn't going to be that long. But it was scary, because like, that was another person that you knew. And you knew that, there's no cure for the illness. It's just more of just kind of like, working through the different symptoms you have. Because I want to say Queen Latifah's mother has scleroderma as well. So a lot of times they have respiratory issues. Because if you think about it, if you have hardening of the skin, your organs and your everything that's in your body is kind of like part of that, makeup. And so it gets harder for you to, you know, breathe, walk, do things that we take for granted every day. So with her, it was very hard to kind of watch her, you know, digress. But she still, you know, will tell you about yourself, you know. I remember when I went to go visit her, she had moved to Arizona so that she can, you know, enjoy the hot climate, because the cold climate wasn't good for her condition. And with that, I remember I came in and somebody came to visit her, and they was, you know, trying to see who I was and, you know, how long we knew each other. And I told her about, yeah, we went to school together and we went to college as well together. And I was like, oh, yeah, but I didn't finish. Well, I don't know what you were waiting for. You need to go ahead and finish. And I'm looking at this girl like, seriously? It's like, you half sick and you over here snapping on me? And I came to visit you. But
that, yeah, that's who to call. I like I said, I call her on the end. I will always hear her name come up, right? And so when I met her, yes, Nicole was straight up and down with you. Like you said, it was like on the Sour Patch Kid commercial, because you really didn't know if she was snapping on you, because she would end it with a laugh. Like, she would roast you in your face. I remember one time we went out to the club, and honey, you couldn't tell me nothing with my little sweater on. One thing I ain't know, though, was how to club with some clothes that was gonna cool me off. You know what I'm saying? So she looked at me. She was like, okay. And she was like, you look cute with your little turtleneck in this hot-ass club, girl, but go off. And I'm like, oh, was that a compliment? Or? And baby, she was right, because, honey, I was sweating like Whitney Houston's upper lip. No shade towards Whitney, but we know that upper lip used to do some things. And baby, I was just off in the corner, and she was having a time of her life. Okay, one of the things I want to touch on, since we're talking about Nicole, is she was another person with resilience, and she really just kind of she wanted what she wanted when she knew she did not have long. And one of the things that she did without hesitation was, you know, become a mother. And that was really one of the highest moments of Nicole's life. I remember when she had Rocky, she called me, and honey, she could not stop talking about how cute his feet was. Okay. She was like, she's like, they just so cute. But on the serious note, can we talk about that part of y'all friendship when she found out she was pregnant and you kind of felt some kind of way?
Yeah. Oh, you know, because I knew of her severity of her illness, I was so scared for her, because it was like, you know, I felt like, you know, her being pregnant, you know, how, you know, if anybody know me, I love pregnant people. Like, if you are my friend and you pregnant, I'm ready to spoil you, take you, what you need me to cook you. Oh, you want me to go take you where? Okay, I was one of those type of people who just love to see a woman be able to bring life into the world. And with Nicole, it was like, I was so scared for her, because, you know, back in the old days, you know, you being pregnant is kind of like you being on your deathbed, because, you know, they didn't have all the advanced things that people have nowadays. You can really, you know, go in and give birth and die on the table and that kind of stuff. And so I was so worried for her. And, you know, we kind of got into it in regards to that, you know, her, you know, having the baby. And she was adamant, because she wanted to leave something on this earth, you know, because she knew she was leaving. She had Rocky. And she, like you said, was just so excited to be a mom. She was, You know, it's so funny because her and her sister had a baby first, and then Nicole later on had Rocky. So they were around the same age. But it's so funny, Nicole's nephew was born on her birthday, and like she was so excited, like, oh, this is my baby, this, that, and the third. And when she became a mother, I know that that was probably her greatest achievement that she had. And I remember when she was kind of in her last days, she just was like, I wish I could just take him with me. But she knew she had to leave him here and everything. But it was kind of sad. And he's, you know, he's 21, I think, now. I just recently talked, well, actually recently FaceTimed him, him and Nicole's sister. And it was good to just, you know, see him physically, have a conversation with him. And it was quite interesting because it's like I'm looking at him and I was like, man, he got Nicole's eyebrows. I was like, oh my goodness. But, you know, it's just weird. And it's, you know, the hard part with that is that, you know, we can't pick up the phone and just do what friends do and, you know, say, hey, I'm what you doing today, and you know, all the different milestone birthdays, you know, they go come and go. It just kind of makes it sad, you know.
Yeah. Well, one thing for certain, we can, you know, you and I can say you was there from beginning to the end. Like you went down there to Arizona, spent time with her, and while you were there just hanging out, that's when she decided, you know, to transition. So, you know,
it's the weirdest part with her, you know, people say, you know, sometimes, you know, people die because they wait to see somebody, or you know, they're not gonna die until they wait to see somebody or something to that extent. I truly felt like Nicole was one of those, because I stayed with her for a full week, and the night before I was leaving, I went in her room and she was very lethargic at that time. I was like, hey Nikki, you know I'm glad, I love you, you know, I'm gonna be going home tomorrow, I really love and care for you and everything. And that morning I woke up to go to, you know, I was getting, you know, waking up to leave that day, and she was gone. Literally gone. And that was kind of hard too, because you're trying to stay strong around her grandmother, her son at the time, calling her sisters, talking to them. But that was kind of a hard thing to go through as well. Yeah. So a lot of those instances, you know, kind of affect, you know, me from time to time, because a lot of times the things that I go through, or, you know, you want to just talk to certain people and you can't, it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is why, you know, I'm telling people at the beginning, I used all these words to describe you because, honey, let me tell you, I know you going through, but somebody needed to hear this, number one. Number two, I do feel like a large portion of people would have been checked out. You know, I don't care in how they checked out. I'm sure then losing these amount of people back to back like that is the mental can only take so much. So we've handed out some flowers to grandma, mama, dad, best friend. And now we got brother Dion, you know, big brother. Know a few times you put him in certain things that you put on Facebook as a hero, just there. And Dion just made his transition, and we cannot in this without handing him his flowers in how, you know, how Dion impacted your life as a big brother?
So Dion, me and my brother, about 11, almost 12 years apart. So a lot of times people will think that I was the only child because he was like a stealth. He was just, you know, in silence. He went to Morehouse College when I was probably, I think, the second grade or something. So a lot of times he was in Atlanta, so he wasn't around and everything. He was always that big brother who, you know, thought he was the coolest thing ever. I thought he was cool because he was the one who would send me rap tapes, like, you know, the DOC and Dr. Dre and all of them. He would send me, not CDs, he would send me cassettes back then when he was in college. So he was the big brother. He was always there for me. Even if I was going through stuff, he would be the one like, come on now, see, you know, you could do X, Y, and Z, and, you know, he was the one who just kind of like, you know, was like, just tell it like it is. He was kind of similar to my mom a little bit because a lot of times they kind of thought alike. They don't, you know, take too much stuff, and they don't, let things really bother them too much. They both was the, I would say, the mathematical geniuses in the family because my mother and my brother loved numbers. So they was numbers people. So with him, he had a stroke in his 40s, like his late 40s. And he was still around and everything. And, you know, he was still, you know, even though he had paralysis on one side, he was still able to be, you know, independent and stuff with, you know, himself. Still can deal with his finances and everything. He was very independent. But for him, for me, he was like my hero because it's like he was very determined. You know, he never showed me that he suffered, even though I know he probably was suffering. And I'm sorry because it's a little bit fresh. So a lot of times when I talk about him, because he's like the last of my immediate family now. Like Keisha said, I'm related to them, to everybody, seemed like. But, you know, my immediate family was so small. So losing him was like a kick in the butt as well. Kind of hard to get through a little bit because, you know, I have my moments that I wish that I could hear him say, hey, C, I'm just checking in on you. What's going on with you? I haven't heard from you in a couple of, you know, days or so. So it's going to be hard for me because, you know, tomorrow's my birthday. And it's interesting to not get a call of him wishing me a happy birthday. He only did that once, and that was when he first had his first stroke, I think. His mind wasn't there where he remembered my birthday. So it's going to be strange, you know, it's going to be strange, but you know, I'm going to try to get through it.
So one thing I'm going to say is, you know, I truly admire you, and it's not your strength at all. This is nothing but the God in you. You're the God in you that tells you to keep pushing, the God in you that wakes you up every morning and tell you to keep going And I know that this has been hard, and that's why I appreciate you for saying, okay, I'll do this. Because although you have one voice, whoever this reaches at whatever time, they go want to hear it. They're going to need to hear it. You don't know who you're saving, because who we talked about was family. And it's just as you stated, it's the immediate family. It's the ones that you wake up to and you can call. And now, as you stated, okay, this is your first birthday, but we go make sure that we say as many prayers to keep you going and uplifted, because it's rough and it's hard. But we know that just by you being on this podcast, you served a purpose. So if there's anything you want to tell the listeners, the things that you're doing, how they can keep up with you, because you said stealth, baby, when you was talking about Dion, you can disappear too, baby. Everybody don't know. Carla get on social media maybe 3-4 times and that's it. I ain't mad at it though. But in wrapping up, I want to say I love you. And I want to thank you so much for being a very intricate part of my life. I know we have get into it moments, not more than you and my sister. I will say that much, okay? Look, y'all should have been sisters.
Will was the sister that I never had.
Absolutely, because the way y'all get into it.
But I've been doing very, very well. I don't get into it with her like I used to, but you know.
Girl, the way y'all, baby. But no, you have been my voice of reason. Even when you have had your back against the wall, I can call you. Although I'm not much of the phone person. It's more of a text person with me. Okay, you the phone person. I'm the text me. Like, did you text me? But in all, I want to just thank you. I want to thank your family, like I said, both sides. What's up, Malika? What's up, Tiffany? And everybody else on both sides who have really and truly shown me what family looks like. How y'all band around each other. Neither one of the people I mentioned, Tiffany or Malika, are no punks, baby. Run up and get done up, baby. They got the mouth, and Tiffany will hold it down some type of way. But baby, let me let you know, you come from a strong line of very strong people. And I want to know if there's anything you want to say to anybody listening before we wrap up.
Well, dealing with grief, depression, you're not alone. You definitely need to talk to people. I had started doing therapy because it was getting too much for me to hold in. I still have faith in God that, I will see all of my loved ones again, not on this worldly world, but in a different form. But you have to kind of try to live for them, and that's something that I'm working my best to do, because sometimes I find myself I'm not living for them. I'm just here trying to find my way. But I've been, like I said, I've been doing therapy, just to kind of be able to voice whatever I have in my heart or on my mind. If I wanted to just bawl and cry, because, sometimes you just need to be vulnerable and be able to let go of those things. So, but, like I said, I'm working through those things, and I decided that I need to, share, because it's like, I know it's people out there who lost their parents, and with me, it's kind of hard because I lost my parents, my brother, and stuff, and it's no other extensions to them here, not a niece or nephew. I don't have children, so it's like sometimes I just feel like I'm alone out here. You know, I have the Bud, Keisha, and Leopard, and Malika, and everybody else when I'm going through stuff. And you know, I hate that I have to do that, but I'm very thankful that I have those people around me, because it's hard. It's so hard moving in this world alone, even though you know you're not alone. But it is very hard to move around feeling alone, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So. And I'm glad you said that, because it's not you saying you're alone and discrediting anybody. It's your walk that makes you feel that way. You know, we all are walking different paths. So although our paths might be similar, as you know, I lost a parent, but I lost one parent. That's our similarities, but I can't tell you, well, Carla, I lost one too, you know, get over it. No, your walk is completely different, and you will at times feel alone. And it's not discrediting the room full of people that you're dealing with. It means that, you know, I'm walking this solo. What I feel at this moment is solo, period, point blank. So I want you to understand that's completely okay, without anybody feeling offended when you say, okay, well, I'm by myself. We know that, but emotionally, yeah, only you know what you're going through. And, you know, so I wanted to point that out and just say, you know, again, I admire your strength. I admire you going into therapy. I think that it has done a fantastic job, child. I mean, I'm sure she pulling, or is it a he or a man or a woman, male or female?
Right now, I have a male therapist. He's doing really well, you know. He's pulling a lot of things that I didn't even like. Oh, wow, yeah. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it scares me, you know, but, you know, I can't say that, you know, I would be this far if I didn't decide to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was getting into a dark space, and I was like, I got to do something, because I was very dark and I didn't want to be like that, because I always felt like I was somebody's sunshine, and I didn't feel like the sunshine. Yeah. So
I got you on that. I'm glad. I mean, look, you said right now, like you about to get rid of him. You better not get rid of that man. I mean, he doing his He like right now. I'm like, you keep going.
You know, therapy can be expensive. You know, I'm a little bit of a tightwad from time to time. So, you know, I'm like, man, you in my pockets. Like, can we
right.
do once a month? Like, not every 2 weeks. Can we just do once a month?
Or if it gets too heavy, you know, shucks.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's
like, I gotta give you a little break, because you to hit a nerve I ain't ready to face. Okay, so
that is so true. And that's funny, because you know, with therapy and therapists or whatever, you see a lot of times they do, you know, make you like, what the world? What
is mm-hmm.
yeah, and you feel some kind of way, and you. Sometimes you heavy afterwards. When I mean by that, you in your feelings after that, and you like, oh, I can't. I'm bounce back. And the other days, you're like, I'm good. That was a good session.
Yeah, they stir it up. They stir it up, because we talking about stuff that didn't just start now. We might recognize it now, but that you dealing with something when you, somebody taking your lunch when you was five, you know, and you realize then.
Hello.
That's why you got.
Yeah.
They pull up some they do, baby. They look, you be like, damn, I ain't know how much that affected me. Okay.
I'm telling you, your childhood affects your adulthood in every facet of your life.
Yeah, it does.
Don't know it. You just don't know it.
We are just big kids. That does not mean because we're an adult that those problems that we dealt with when we were kids ever got taken care of. We just had to learn how to navigate. But understand this, that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year old is still within that 40 plus year old. So wrapping up, I would sing happy birthday to you, but you know, I ain't trying to have people cut us off right now, but you will get a birthday. I want to let you know again and again that I love you and I am proud of the steps that you're making. It's a lot of people, like I said, a lot that may not go to therapy. They might decide to do something a tad bit extreme or maybe just shut off. Or some people are just not the same after dealing with what they dealing with. But I'm glad that we had an opportunity to give the people who mean the most to you, or just some of the people, their flowers and painting the picture of how you doing. And I know people might want to know, or they curious. Before we end though, I kind of wanted to shed a tad bit more light on Nicole's disease. Can you tell us the name again?
So Nicole had an autoimmune disease called scleroderma. And basically it's like the hardening of the skin. So with that disease, usually you start having waxy type skin, and it hardens, you know, your organs. So like your, you know, you breathing can be more labored. It's like, you know, your joints can start getting stiff because, you know, basically it's like the hardening of the skin. A lot of times they just have to treat it, treat the symptoms versus the disease. So if someone is experiencing, you know, digestion issues, they have to try to treat that. But eventually it can affect, you know, their life. Hopefully, you know, they'll come up with something that would, you know, help lengthen people's lives for it. But it can come, you know, at any age. Some is usually in their 20s. And then I have actually ran into people who had it that's like in their 30s, 40s, even in their 60s. So it's just a rare illness that people can have. And I don't know if it's hereditary or not, but just like I said, Queen Latifah's mother had it. So it's not like a very popular disease, but it's out there. Yeah.
Okay. I did want the listeners to hear that part. Carla, we have enjoyed you so much, and I just want to continue to say, keep going. You know, if you've not done anything, you have done a phenomenal job expressing your story and how you pushing through, how therapy is painful, but it's necessary to get you through. And so for the listeners, thank you so much for listening to Put Your Phone Down podcast. I'm your host, Keisha, with my special guest, my sister, Carla Cooper. Share it, pass it around, because somebody is going to need to get fed by this food for thought. Thank y'all. And until the next time, be well.